Chapter 15. To get a break and have some time alone together, Margaret and I went to a cluster of tropical islands in the South Pacific. Technically, I guess this is called an archipelago, or maybe it's just an atoll. Whatever. I won't say where exactly. It is somewhere in French Polynesia. That was Skippy's idea. He planned the whole thing, and for once, he did a great job. I suspect he pushed aside his usually attention-deficit absent-mindedness and put some actual effort and thought into the planning, because he would catch hell from Margaret if he screwed something up. Why French Polynesia? Because it is nice that time of year, and mostly because nobody there knew us, and because the locals are French, they don't care about a pair of Americans. As a clever disguise, we wore baseball caps and sunglasses, and Skippy carefully edited the local media, including all internet traffic, to remove any reference to us and what we looked like. As far as the world outside our families knew, Margaret and I were on leave, somewhere in the good old U.S. of A. Though she was on officially approved leave, some officious pain-in-the-ass dirt side who hadn't gotten the memo demanded that Adams check in at Quantico immediately. Skippy crashed the guy's computer 16 times in 1 hour. He got the message. What I expected was that we would be booked into a hotel, maybe one of those huts that are over the water. Instead, Skippy had rented a beachfront villa, and I understood why. We had a lot more privacy in our own house. Nobody would bother us the whole time, except once a week, a guy came by to clean the pool. It was great. Really great. Really. Okay, maybe I'm lying. When I heard that Margaret and I would be sharing a house, just the two of us, I broke out in the classic Joe Bishop flop sweat. We did want some privacy, you know, but maybe a week with just the two of us was too much togetherness. What if I annoyed her? I know that will never happen, but what if it did? What if we realized that other than serving with the Merry Band of Pirates, we did not have much in common? What did Margaret Adams like to do in her free time? I had no idea. Joe? Hey, Skippy whispered in my ear. We were on a commuter flight from the main island where we had landed a dropship in a remote area at night. Skippy faked the immigration paperwork for us. I do feel bad about that, but a commercial flight from L.A. was like 8 hours, and we wouldn't have any privacy. Plus, UNEF Command would have insisted on sending a whole star team to babysit us. So, we snuck out, and Skippy covered our tracks. Whatever he wanted to talk about right then, he didn't want Margaret to hear. Listen, numbskull. I took the liberty of having your villa stocked with basic items. You know, snacks, plus a variety of alcohol to help you seal the deal, if you know what I mean. Although, yeesh, Margaret would have to be super drunk to look at you and think, well, hello there. So, maybe, jabbing a finger in my ear, I tried to knock the little earpiece loose, but it hung on tenaciously. In the unlikely and truly tragic event that you get lucky, and if you do, I do not want any details, yuck. There is a bottle of lubricant in the bedside table, although I do not understand why you monkeys call it lubricant. Why would you advertise that something is not able to do the job? Shouldn't it be called lubrican? That would make more sense. Man, sometimes I really wonder about your... With a Z-phone cupped in one hand, I typed out, "Stop talking," as a text and sent the message. Okay, okay. Before I go, there is also a bottle of little blue pills for you in the bathroom. Do not take more than one. You really shouldn't take any, but I know how desperate you are, so stop talking, was my next text. Mercifully, he stopped. Margaret had noticed me frantically typing something on my phone and leaned over to talk above the hum of the plane's engines. If you are on social media again, then I am just confirming the housing arrangements with Skippy, I told her, which was close enough to the truth. Separate bedrooms, right? She looked at me. Crap. She wanted us to sleep in separate... Joe? She laughed. The look on your face was precious. You scared the hell out of me, I admitted. Joe! Joe, 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 Joe! Gah! I spit out a mouthful of toothpaste all over the bathroom mirror. We had just arrived at the villa, and it was as wonderful as Skippy described. Crap, now I have to clean this thing. What? For your... How shall I say this without gagging?
Oh, too late.
He made a retching sound.
Ugh, yuck.
Skippy, what do you want? Is this important?
If it wasn't important, I wouldn't be wasting my very valuable time trying to help you. Although helping you with this kinda makes my skin crawl.
Then don't.
Believe me, I would love to avoid any knowledge of this heinous crime, but you are my buddy, and damn, you need my help.
Can you just say whatever it is?
Okay, okay. Tonight? For your romantic interlude? Nope. I'm gonna hurl if I say that again. I know this is a special night for you, or you hope it is a special night. Would it help if I performed some romantic music to get the two of you in the mood?
Oh, for no. It would not help.
Not even a little bit?
No!
Okay, I see that could be distracting. Margaret would be hearing me sing and realize a man with actual talent is way better than the doofus she's with, so I do not need any help.
Really?
Really. Have you looked at yourself in the mirror recently?
I can't because this mirror is covered with toothpaste.
Trust me, the toothpaste is a big improvement.
We do not need any music from you.
Ah, gotcha. Thanks. You plan on singing to her.
What? No, that would be a terrible idea, Joe.
Yeah, duh. That's why,
although, your awful singing voice might make her forget about the waves of nausea for a while. How about,
goodbye, Skippy. Wait, I can coach you. Try this. So I sing you to sleep after the lovin' with a, now I'm gonna hurl. That is not appropriate.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you. You sing her to sleep? Right. We both know you will be snoring after 30 seconds while she lies there asking herself, that's it, and regretting her entire life. Go away, Skippy.
Coming up the stairs of the villa the next afternoon, I was singing a song that was stuck in my head, singing badly and loud, the only way I know how to sing. In my hands were two cold beers. Margaret and I were planning to sit out on the upper deck and chill for a while. To be truthful, I was hoping for another type of activity later, and no, I was not trying to get her drunk first. She asked for the beer, which is why I walked down to the cooler we kept by the door. When I got to the top of the stairs, instead of seeing Margaret lounging outside, she was standing in the living room, glaring down at a pile of clothes on the floor.
Did you, she pointed to the offending articles of clothing,
leave these here?
Okay, so? They were clearly my clothes. Still, from my time in the E4 Mafia, I instinctively wanted to deny everything. Maybe I could claim that someone had snuck into the place while we weren't looking, or maybe magical gnomes were trying to get me in trouble. Hey, that could happen, right? Did I spit out a lame story? No. Joe Bishop is not stupid, and I can think fast when I need to. Sucking in a shocked breath, I quickly set the beers down on a table and dashed to the pile of clothes, kneeling beside them.
No, I shouted. Master Kenobi!
Can't, Margaret stared at me.
Who?
Can't you see? I whispered, pretending to look around the room for an intruder. Someone struck down a Jedi Master here. Only his clothes are left. She cocked her head at me.
A Jedi?
My response was a shrug. There really is no other possible explanation. Don't worry. He will come back more powerful than you can possibly imagine. She hid her face behind her hands while her shoulders shook.
You are such an idiot.
I can't dispute that. Come here. Sadly, we never got to drink those beers while they were cold.
On our second day on the island, we packed up the tiny car that Skippy rented for us. It was a tiny SUV type of thing, with dents all over, and the driver's side window only went up or down if you used a hand to help the tired electric motor. The sticker on the back said it belonged to some local rental company I never heard of, but the thing ran okay, and more importantly, we both got a good laugh out of it. Until Margaret insisted on driving. She is a maniac. Seriously. That woman should not have a license to drive anything. We stopped at a roadside shack for lunch, and I drank water while she had a beer. That was my excuse to insist that I should drive, which was good for my blood pressure. Anyway,
We got to the beach she had seen on a tourist map or brochure. It was supposed to be secluded, with great snorkeling right from shore. I stopped the car. This is it? She poked her head out her window. That's what the sign says, I think. Plage is the French word for beach. The beach isn't the problem. Where do we park?
In the parking lot? She suggested unhelpfully.
She pointed to a muddy, potholed, wide spot off the road. It was big enough for maybe two cars, and in typical island fashion, five cars were already squeezed in there. I looked in the mirror for a place to park behind me. Nothing. This is a parking not a lot. That made her laugh, which was good. Wrestling the tiny car back and forth, I got it wedged in under a tree halfway off the road. I hope nobody hits it, I said as we got out. She looked at the dents and rust.
How could anyone tell?
Good point. I'll get the bag, you got the towels? The beach was beautiful. The other people were spread out, so we did not have to see many French guys in tiny Speedo swimsuits unless we wanted to. I can't speak for Margaret, but I did not want to see that. It is a French island, so most of the women were topless. Did Margaret take her top off? That is none of your business, you perverts. All I will say is I am the luckiest man in the world. The only glitch in our day was a brief tropical shower that swept over us. We just stuffed towels in the bag and went into the water until it was gone. Then she wanted to cover up so she didn't get a sunburn, and she dug around in the bag she had packed. What's wrong? I asked.
I thought I packed a sarong in here.
I am so wrong about your sarong, I winked.
You are an ass, she laughed.
If you buy one with an ugly pattern, is that a sorry sarong? She threw a bag of crackers at my head. Then she kissed me. It was a great day, until she insisted on driving back to the villa. My hands are still shaken from that death-defying experience. I was feeling good. Like, good. The best ever. Like I didn't think it was possible to be that happy. So happy it scared me that I would somehow screw it up. Of course I did. After a swim, I went back into the villa to shower and get changed before we went out for dinner. Coming into the villa, I saw a pile of freshly folded towels on the stairs, and being a good guy, took the hint that I shouldn't track sand all over the place. Going back outside, I kicked off my flip-flops and washed my feet in the bucket of water by the door, then walked in and dried my feet off by throwing one of the towels on the floor and stomping my feet around on it. Going the extra mile, I put the now-wet towel outside where it really should have been and stepped over the pile of other towels to go upstairs. The first sign of trouble was when I heard a screech while I was in the shower. Margaret probably saw a spider, I thought. This was my opportunity to be a manly man and squash a bug for her. I am a dumbass. If Margaret saw a spider, the spider would have screeched and run away. Anyway, I was out of the shower and looking around for a clean towel when she walked in with a stack of towels. My first instinct, because I am a guy, was to flex for her. Here's a pro tip for you guys out there. Do not do that. Unless you're doing it as a joke, which I wasn't. Or unless she gives you a well hello there look, which she definitely was not. The look on her face should have clued me in, but again, I am a guy, so. The towel smacked me in the face when she threw it at me. Even that wasn't enough of a clue. Hey, I was standing there buck naked and she was wearing a beach cover-up and maybe not much else. My brain wasn't working properly. Thanks, I muttered with the towel draped over my head, drying my hair. When I came up for air, she had set the other towels down on the counter and had her hands on her hips, glaring at me.
What? I asked. Did you see the stack of towels on the stairs?
Yeah. Hey, I left one outside so we can dry our feet off, I said, expecting praise for my clever thinking.
Did you wonder why the towels were there?
Sure. I figure that after you washed and dried and folded them, you took a break.
A break?
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. We're not on the clock here. I knew you would bring the towels up here eventually when you got around to it. Here is another valuable pro tip for the guys out there. That was not the right answer. Not even close. I mean, like, the right answer was on the other side of the freaking universe. The worst thing is, she knew I really thought that was the right answer. In case you still need a clue, because to be honest, I did, here it is. She washed and dried and folded those towels because we were running out of clean towels, and the villa sadly was not equipped with magical laundry elves. After her washing and drying and folding the towels, she wanted me to carry them up the stairs. I know. Women, right? Why didn't she just ask me to bring the towels up the stairs? Because it is a relationship thing. Hey, I don't fully understand it either, but I will try to explain. And I don't have any crayons, so just listen. The guys, I mean. You women can go do whatever it is women do when guys are cluelessly mansplaining stuff. Apparently, if I were a decent human being, and if I truly cared about her, my stupid brain should have said something like, hey, I should be a decent human being and a full partner in this relationship and do at least half of the work. I should have at least carried the folded towels up the stairs instead of stepping over them. Better, I should have noticed that we were running out of towels and at least thrown some wet towels in the dryer. There are many layers to this issue, like an onion. And like an onion, there can be tears involved when you peel back the layers. There is sort of a score sheet, so pay attention. 1 point, if I had brought the towels up the stairs so she wouldn't yell at me. 2 points, if I had brought the towels up the stairs because I care about her. 3 points, if I had brought the towels up the stairs because that is just the decent thing to do and she wants a decent guy to care about. What was my score? Negative infinity. I did not put any effort into carrying the towels. Therefore, I was not willing to put any effort into a relationship. Therefore, I did not really care about her. Guys, listen. I know what you are thinking. Bitches be crazy, right? Crap. That was also not the right thing to say. Women are not crazy. They're just different. I kind of like that difference, you know? So, here's the deal. I should have taken action, not to help her, but to help us. We ran out of towels, and someone needed to take care of the problem. You know the worst part? If I was sharing the house with another guy, I would have said, dude, we are out of towels. I'm throwing these in the laundry. Then I would have said, hey, don't be a lazy ass. Carry these towels up and put them in the closet or wherever towels live when they're not being used. I did not do that because I was sharing the house with a woman, and my sexist brain said, that is women's work. So I assumed Margaret would do it. Anyway, there I was, standing naked in the shower with a towel over my head and her glaring at me with her hands on her hips, and I was trying to figure out what to say. I'm sorry, I said, which is always a good start. Where are the towels supposed to go? Here or downstairs? You don't know? A stack of towels appears like magic next to the door every morning before we go to the beach, I explained. I don't see where you get them. Oh. If we're doing laundry, should I throw the bed sheets in the wash? We got sand in there somehow. Her expression softened just a bit. You should also wash that one pair of bathing trunks you have been wearing every day. Okay. I only have 2 bathing suits. We could buy more for you. You want to go shopping today? You are volunteering for shopping? Yeah. I should get a souvenir for my folks. And we never got a real wedding present for Sims, you know? Looking back later, I think what bailed me out of the mess is when I said we never got a wedding present for Sims. Like that is something Margaret and I should do together, because we are together. No, I didn't say that only to get out of the mess I got myself into. I said it automatically, because I thought of us as a couple, and that is something couples do. That was the right thing to say. I threw the sheets and some clothes into the washer, then we went shopping and had lunch in town. It was nice. Really. I am not into shopping, but it was nice being with her. And she is into shopping, so it was nice seeing her happy. When we got back, I put the sheets on the clothesline to dry, and when they were dry, I made the bed, and somehow there was still sand in the freaking sheets. I suspect Skippy was screwing with me. The morning of our last full day on vacation, we went to the beach, just to hang out, swim, maybe drink a festive beverage or two. That afternoon, I wanted to take her sailing if the weather was right. I got our chairs set up and stuck an umbrella in the sand, tilting it so the breeze didn't carry it away to go bouncing down the beach like a medieval weapon. With the chairs and umbrella set up, I slathered myself with sunscreen, stuck the bottle back in a bag, and popped open an adult beverage. "Joe," Margaret said in a tone of voice that even I recognized as annoyance.
"What?" I held up the beer.
"Yeah, it's before noon, but I'm on vacation."
"It's not that."
She turned away, her eyes moist.
Wow.
She was upset about something, like seriously upset. Crap. She was happy during the drive to the beach. Her drive-in terrified me, but she had a grin on her face the whole time. She even found a good parking spot near the beach. What the hell had I done wrong after we got out of the car?
"What?
Margaret, come on, what is it? Please tell me." She turned half back, looking at me with a side eye.
"You put the sunscreen away after you used it."
"Oh, yeah. Okay. The bottle gets sticky and I didn't want to get sand on it." A thought occurred to me. There were towels in the bag. Should I have put it in a plastic bag? She sighed.
"No, that's not it."
I reached out to touch her arm.
"Then what?"
"You didn't ask if I needed sunscreen."
Well, because I'm black, you don't think I needed to use sunscreen?"
Holy shit. This was serious. I felt like I had stepped on a landmine and just heard the click of the detonator activating. Whatever I said in response, I had to think very carefully about it. Also, stupid brain, do not take forever to think what to say. Fortunately, my stupid brain did not need to think, because I already had a good answer.
"I know you need sunscreen," I said quietly. "I saw you putting it on before we left the villa this morning."
She half turned toward me.
"You did?"
"Yes, you did it while I was shaving." My vacation beard had to go because it let water into my snorkel mask.
"Oh."
Something told me that sunscreen was not the real issue.
"Is this something we should talk about?"
Part of me, I swear to God, wanted me to whine, but I'm on vacation. I didn't want to have a difficult conversation right then. Really, I didn't want to have a difficult conversation at all, ever. But especially not during my first actual vacation in years. Another deep breath, another sigh from her.
"Yes."
Turning to look me straight in the eyes, she asked,
"Are you ready for a relationship with a black woman?"
"I thought I was in a relationship with a black woman," I said cautiously.
"Be serious, please. You keep talking about how you're from the North Woods of Maine. Before you joined the army, had you even met a black person?"
"Hey, my hometown isn't what you think." Then I said possibly the dumbest thing that ever came out of my mouth. "One summer, we had a taco truck." Immediately I realized just how stupid that sounded. Maybe that was not the best example.
"You think?" she snapped. But there was a twinkle in her eye. "I'll give you points for trying."
"I am trying. Listen, honey." "Okay." It was my turn to take a deep breath. "Sure. In my hometown, ethnic diversity sort of means your cousin married a French guy from Quebec. But I was born in Boston." She gave me that, "Oh, really?" eyebrow thing that women do. "Forget all that. We've served together for years. You know me."
"I do."
"We're cool then?" I reached out to touch her arm. She didn't pull away.
"This could be difficult."
"You're worried that I can't handle difficult things?" I snorted. "Right. Because I always choose to do things the easy way." I rolled my eyes. "Have you ever seen me run from a fight?" She pursed her lips and thought for a moment.
"No.
Not even when you should," she added with a little grin.
"Oh, you are so damn cute."
"It's a curse, but I deal with it." Feeling like I had dodged a bullet, I wanted to move on with our day in tropical paradise. Really, I did not want to continue that conversation. "Hey, We need to talk about this.
Because it's important to me?
Because it's important to us. Guys, here's another pro tip for you. That was exactly the right thing to say. We sat back on our blankets, sipping drinks, watching the crystal blue water, and talked. Really talked about important stuff. An hour later, she wanted to go swimming, so we dove into the water together.